Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we explore Moneyland by Oliver Buller. This eye-opening book delves into the shadowy world of the wealthy and corrupt, tracing the elaborate ways they protect their fortunes. Oliver Buller takes us on a global tour from trusts in Nevada to oil fields in Angola, and even to islands that barely register on a map, all used as havens for dirty money. Oliver Buller, an award-winning non-fiction writer from Wales, has a rich background in reporting on Russia and Eastern Europe. His insightful writings have been featured in The New York Times, The Guardian, and on the BBC. He brings his investigative prowess to bear in Moneyland, making complex economic networks accessible and engaging. This book is a must-read for anyone intrigued by current affairs, those working in the finance sector, or even billionaires interested in asset protection strategies. So, tune in to understand how the rich manipulate financial systems to their advantage and the incredible lengths they go to keep their wealth hidden. Moneyland: Why Thieves and Crooks Now Rule the World and How to Take It Back. Introduction: Navigating the Shadowy Paths of the Wealthy. How the Elites Protect Their Fortunes. Ever puzzled over how the rich always seem to remain rich, despite the myriad of laws and taxes designed to even the playing field? Or pondered on what strategies allow them to not only maintain, but often increase their wealth over generations? This exploration isn't merely about pinching pennies or savvy investment strategies. It's a darker and more complex web of regulations, loopholes, and sometimes outright misconduct that spans across the globe. It revolves around an intricate ballet of dodging financial pitfalls, legal boundaries, and, in extreme cases, delving into the world of corruption, crime, and even the shadow realms where laws fade into ambiguity. As the world's financial systems intertwined globally, the maze became more baffling, a reality that the cunning and affluent quickly exploited. Whether one seeks intrigue or enlightenment, understanding these maneuvers opens a fascinating yet alarming window into a hidden dimension of global finance. Through this narrative journey, we'll examine how a mere wedding dress can illuminate the complexities of global finance, the chilling implications behind a simple t-shirt, and why a particular US state is turning into an unexpected sanctuary for wealth. Prepare to peer behind the curtain of high finance and witness the covert strategies that ensure the rich preserve their wealth. Part 1: How post-war regulatory ambitions fell short in stabilizing the global market. Before the cataclysmic events of World War II, the global financial system operated with minimal regulations. Money zigzagged across borders, often leading to destabilized currencies, contributing to deep-seated poverty and fueling social unrest. These turbulent financial flows were significant contributors to the climate that sparked the global conflict. As the war neared its end, the Allied nations came together with a resolution to prevent such financial chaos from recurring. Their solution was ambitious and clear-cut. National currencies would no longer dance to the unpredictable tune of market fluctuations. Instead, they would be anchored to the stability of the US dollar, which itself would be backed by the US gold reserves. Moreover, the new system put in place stringent rules against risky short-term international investments, allowing only long-term commitments to cross borders. Initially, this framework seemed like a foolproof plan for a more stable and prosperous post-war world. But the reality of these measures was short-lived. The catch lay in the supervision, or lack thereof, of international dollar reserves. Although U.S. banks were tightly regulated, the U.S. government had no jurisdiction over dollars stored overseas, particularly in London. British bankers, unrestrained by their government, began manipulating these euro dollars with impunity, reintroducing instability into the global market. These euro dollars were soon accompanied by an even bolder financial product, eurobonds. Unlike traditional investments, eurobonds came with a slew of enticing benefits, chief among them being their tax-exempt status. Furthermore, They required no recording of personal details of investors, merely issuing coupons redeemable at the bond's maturity. This anonymity made Eurobonds a magnet for those seeking to conceal wealth. Such innovations marked a dramatic departure from the Allies' post-war aspirations. What was intended as a leash to restrain the excesses of global finance turned into a catalyst that only further liberated it, setting the stage for an era dominated by more fluid and aggressive forms of international finance. This unexpected turn of events reminisces a cautionary tale about the perpetual struggle between regulatory intentions and the innovative tactics of the financial world. Part 2: The Allure of Offshore Havens for Hiding Ill-Gotten Wealth. Imagine you've just executed a financial heist, pocketing billions from an unassuming nation. Where would you hide this staggering amount of money? Certainly not in a local bank or beneath your mattress. For those well-versed in the shadowy corners of finance, the answer lies in offshore havens, secretive jurisdictions tailor-made for financial discretion and minimal regulatory oversight. Nevis, a tiny Caribbean island with a mere 11,000 residents, has become synonymous with such financial havens. Their transformation into a secrecy sanctuary began in the 1980s when Nevis gained independence from Britain. Bill Barnard, an influential American lawyer, saw an opportunity. Teaming up with the island's premier, Simeon Daniel, they restructured Nevis's laws to make it a magnet for hidden wealth. Here's how they ensured that Nevis would become a beacon for financial secrecy. Firstly, the island nullified the enforcement of foreign court judgments within its jurisdiction. To even attempt to reclaim misappropriated funds, one must navigate the local legal system, which includes posting a hefty $100,000 bond and catching the offender within a year of the alleged crime. Adding to the fortress of confidentiality, Nevis also enacted stringent laws that safeguard financial information, preventing the disclosure of asset ownership without substantial cause. Nevis is not alone in its operations. It is part of a broader network of offshore financial centers that often make headlines for their roles in global schemes. Take Jersey, another British territory, notorious for Fimaco, a mysterious entity implicated in a Russian financial scandal. In the late 1990s, Russian prosecutor General Yuri Skuratov unearthed flows of billions of dollars into Fimaco from Russia's central bank, with no apparent business activities to justify such sums. The funds reportedly circled back to enrich central bank officials, a blatant misuse of national assets. Skuratov's efforts to expose this corruption were met with scandal and defamation, leading to his removal and the subsequent derailment of his investigations. These examples underscore a harsh reality. Offshore havens not only exist but thrive, providing the rich and corrupt with perfect fortresses to safeguard their illicit gains from prying eyes of the law and global regulatory bodies. Part 3: How Corruption Flourishes in the Shadows of Poverty. Imagine tuning into a popular television show where brides-to-be select extravagant wedding dresses in an upscale New York boutique. This premise of say yes to the dress typically makes for lighthearted entertainment, except for an episode in May 2015 that sparked considerable controversy. This particular episode spotlighted three VIP brides with seemingly limitless budgets. The standout was a staggering $200,000 transaction, the highest in the store's history. The bride responsible, now Lila Diogo, was no ordinary customer. Her father was a minister in Angola, a country notorious for its high levels of government corruption and poverty. This expenditure threw a harsh spotlight on a grim reality. While now Lila indulged in a lavish shopping spree, the majority of her compatriots lived in dire poverty. In Angola, where the average life expectancy barely reaches 42 years and over 80% of the population struggles below the poverty line, such extravagance by a government minister's family raises profound ethical questions. To understand how a minister could afford such an expense on a government salary, one must look at the broader context of systemic corruption in Angola. The nation is rich in oil and diamonds. Yet the wealth derived from these valuable resources rarely benefits the populace. Instead, it's often siphoned off by those in power through corrupt dealings and outright theft. From 2007 to 2010, an astonishing $32 billion vanished from Angola's state budget. In another stark example, the governor of Angola's central bank was caught transferring $50 million of state funds directly into his personal account. The international watchdog, Global Witness, brought attention to these shady practices as early as 1999, directly challenging Angola's leaders. Among them was Bonito de Souza, none other than Naulila's father, who, despite the public outrage following the revealing episode of Say Yes to the Dress, ascended to the vice presidency in 2017. While Angola's situation is distressing, it is hardly unique. Many other countries grapple with similar disparities, where corrupt leaders exploit their positions for personal gain, starkly contrasting with the extreme poverty of their citizens. This episode, beyond just a scandal, highlighted the pervasive issue of inequity that plagues regions rich in resources yet impoverished in wealth distribution. Part 4: How Corruption Transcends Boundaries and Impacts Global Justice. Living in a country perceived as largely free from corruption can create a sense of distance from the harsh realities of global kleptocracy. For instance, residents of the UK might rest easy, thinking the stringent rule of law protects them from the chaos seen in countries like Russia or Angola. However, the truth is more complex and unsettling. Corruption, by its very nature, knows no national boundaries. It infiltrates and influences beyond its point of origin, affecting nations worldwide. Here's a stark illustration: the 2006 case of Alexander Litvinenko, a former KGB operative who died from polonium poisoning in London. This case is not just a spy thriller plot, but a real-life testament to how corruption and crime can extend their reach across continents. Litvinenko had exposed a secret Russian program aimed at eliminating political and business figures deemed troublesome before seeking refuge in the UK. In London, he didn't stop. He continued to reveal damaging information about Russian kleptocrats. It was his revelations that likely led to his assassination, proving that even in a country with robust legal systems like the UK, international corruption can still pose deadly risks. The circumstances surrounding his death illustrate how difficult combating such deep-seated corruption can be when it crosses borders. After Litvinenko identified corrupt practices involving significant Russian figures, he quickly became a target. His eventual death from a rare radioactive substance suggests a well-orchestrated plan involving state-level resources. The response from Russian authorities further complicates the scenario. The primary suspects in Litvinenko's poisoning hastily returned to Russia and were beyond the reach of UK law enforcement. One suspect even received a governmental medal and a parliamentary seat, signalling a brazen disregard for international law and investigations. The brazen nature of this case was highlighted by a chilling message sent to one of Litvinenko's allies: a t-shirt emblazoned with the words, "Polonium 210. Nuclear death is knocking your door." Such incidents underscore a grim reality. Corruption and its enforcement mechanisms can operate globally, and those daring to expose them can find themselves in grave danger, regardless of their location. Thus, the narrative that corruption is a localized issue is effectively debunked, pointing to the necessity for greater international cooperation and vigilance in addressing these transnational threats. Part 5: Swiss Banking Secrecy Ends, Ushering in New Challenges. In 2007, a pivotal event shook the foundations of banking secrecy, historically synonymous with Switzerland. Bradley Birkenfeld, a banker himself, cracked open the vault on Swiss banks' long-standing practice of assisting wealthy Americans in evading taxes. His disclosures not only led to a 40-month prison term for himself, but also facilitated a windfall of over $100 million as a whistleblower reward. Despite his eventual imprisonment due to partial disclosures of his own misdeeds, Birkenfeld's actions marked the beginning of the end for Swiss financial secrecy. This marked change forced the U.S. to tighten its regulations concerning foreign banks, fundamentally altering how these institutions manage American clients. A significant legislative outcome was the enactment of laws that required all foreign financial institutions to disclose details about their American clients or face stiff penalties, including a 30% tax on their U.S. investment earnings. The key message here is clear. While the era of Swiss bank secrecy has concluded, it has been replaced by new complexities and challenges. One of the contemporary pillars of this reformed financial landscape is the Common Reporting Standard, or CRS, which mandates automatic exchange of financial account information among participating countries. This system aims to make tax evasion more difficult by providing governments with the necessary data to tackle financial misdeeds. However, the system isn't foolproof. Many of the world's poorer nations, often the victims of massive illicit financial outflows, find themselves with mountains of data but lacking in resources to effectively analyze and act upon it. Their regulatory bodies are understaffed and underfunded, which diminishes their ability to chase down sophisticated tax evaders and reclaim assets. Moreover, a significant loophole remains as the United States, ironically, does not reciprocate the level of transparency it demands. While foreign banks are required to disclose the assets of American clients, the U.S. does not enforce the same level of disclosure for its banks. This one-sided arrangement and lack of participation in the CRS makes the U.S. an increasingly appealing destination for those seeking to shield their finances, ironically positioning it as a burgeoning tax haven. Thus, while Swiss banks may no longer be the fortresses of secrecy they once were, the battle against global financial secrecy and tax evasion is far from over, facing evolving challenges and discrepancies in international cooperation. Part 6. The Rise of American States as Global Tax Havens. Typically, when we think of tax havens, images of Swiss bank vaults or tropical Caribbean islands may spring to mind. Yet, it's a less expected location that has been quietly climbing the ranks as a major player in the world of financial secrecy: the United States, specifically states like South Dakota and Nevada. South Dakota has dramatically transformed into a powerhouse for asset protection, with the amount managed by trusts in the state skyrocketing from $32.8 billion in 2007 to a staggering $226 billion a decade later. This immense growth showcases its rising prominence as a tax haven. Here's the core message. Many U.S. states have started to replicate the secretive financial services that places like Switzerland used to monopolize, becoming attractive locales for those seeking to protect their wealth. But it's Nevada that's perhaps the most striking example of this trend. Nevada offers a compelling suite of advantages for wealthy individuals looking to minimize their tax liabilities. For instance, Nevada has special laws permitting the creation of trusts that can last up to 365 years. The long duration of these trusts significantly delays taxation events, providing a near-perpetual shield against tax liabilities for centuries. Moreover, Nevada's trust laws make it exceedingly difficult for creditors to access any assets placed in trust. Once a trust is set up and 2 years have passed, those assets are virtually invulnerable. This provides immense financial security against claims from creditors, including those arising in situations like divorce settlements. In addition, Nevada offers substantial secrecy benefits that rival those previously found in traditional tax havens like Switzerland. By involving a non-US citizen in the administration of a trust and granting them formal authority over it, the trust can be classified for tax purposes as a foreign entity, even though it operates under U.S. jurisdiction. This legal classification effectively prevents the U.S. from sharing information about the trust with other countries, further enhancing its secrecy. Furthermore, because these trusts are administrated in the U.S., they align with the Common Reporting Standard as domestic entities. Yet the United States itself does not participate in this standard, creating a unique loophole. In sum, places like Nevada are not just emulating the old guard financial havens. they are refining and expanding the playbook, establishing themselves as the new fortresses of financial secrecy in a global landscape. Final summary. The essence of our exploration into the sprawling world of financial secrecy boils down to this. As finance became increasingly globalized, it opened doors wide for the affluent and unscrupulous to safeguard and obscure their wealth across international borders. The rigid nature of national laws, which cease to apply once money flows across borders, presents a lucrative loophole for those looking to evade taxes or conceal ill-gotten gains. This phenomenon has transformed the landscape of global finance, turning it into a complex, often shadowy world where money travels unchecked into jurisdictions known for their secrecy and minimal regulatory oversight. These financial havens provide fertile ground for wealth to be hidden away, far from the prying eyes of regulatory bodies and tax authorities. As a result, tracking and retrieving this concealed money becomes a daunting task for governments worldwide. They find themselves in a perpetual game of catch-up, chasing elusive funds that slip through legal and geographical loopholes with ease. This dynamic has not only implications for tax justice, but also raises critical concerns about the integrity of global financial systems and the rule of law. In sum, the global flow of money has created unprecedented challenges in governance and justice, leaving regulatory frameworks scrambling to adapt to a rapidly changing financial world, dominated by those who know how to play the system to their advantage. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.